Welcome to Jesus-Centric Leadership. I'm Donna. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we're talking about why every leader needs a mentor. And I'm just gonna dive right in.
Let's go.
Why do you think so many leaders try to go it alone in leadership?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great question, and I'm not sure, but I guess I could speak from myself. I think a lot of times, to admit that you need help is admit that you can't handle something. And I think a lot of times we live in a culture where, you know, I think some of this is changing, but we're America. We pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. We figure it out. And I think that's in a lot of us that I've just got to kind of figure it out. And so I think saying that I need help is to admit that you can't handle something on your own, which I think just kind of rubs against our grain, right? It's just kind of this idea, if I just work a little harder, if I'm just a little smarter, if I just do a little better, I think that's my natural inclination and a lot of our natural inclinations.
Faster, harder, stronger, let's go.
Yeah.
What do you believe that the difference is between a mentor and a good friend? Because as we were getting ready for this, you know, we had a little bit of conversation around just relationships and how relationships have changed since COVID.
Yeah. I mean, I think a good mentor can also be a good friend, but I think the difference in a mentor is they're just at least a little bit ahead of you, right? A friend sometimes can be a little older, a little more experienced, a little past you, but I think to be a mentor, they need to be at least one step ahead of you. Like, they can't be in the same place in life as you. Whereas I think sometimes friends are ones who are maybe in the same stage of life as me, or I have something that I can relate with them. A mentor is someone who's kind of done it before, and so they can speak into you how to do it.
But not necessarily, mentors don't necessarily need to be your age. Like, you've mentored me in leadership, and you're younger than I am. I know that's a shock to everybody, but I've got students that have mentored me in some ways, in understanding or in ministry or in things that I'm doing.
Yeah, and so when I say stage, I don't mean straight up they're older than you, but they've done something that you haven't. Like, I think one of the greatest ways we could think about mentorship in our church is quite simple. Is like, if you're ever having trouble with your technology, bring it in and find a high school student.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, they're a digital native. They grew up in it. They understand it better than I do.
Even middle school.
Right? Yeah. And so, like, I say that kind of as a joke, but not really. My guess is most middle school or high school students would love to help you solve your cell phone problem.
Absolutely.
Like, so walk into church with it. And so that's... right, that'd be a form of mentorship, but again, it's because they've been somewhere where you haven't, right? Like, if you were going to Europe and you wanted a guide, you wouldn't pick someone who had never been to Europe to be your guide. You would pick somebody who had been. And that could be a student who grew up in Europe, who's 21-year-old, wet behind the ears, but they know Europe better than they do, so they could guide you. And I think, like, as we think about life, is it's just finding somebody who's been where we haven't, and that's a mentor.
When I was doing student ministry, I loved having conversations with our students who were at the Concordias, or Thomas, as he was at GCU, because they were on the cutting edge of learning new methods and new thoughts and new ideas.
Yeah.
So when they would come home for spring break or Christmas break, I'd always go out to lunch with them and just have these conversations about what are you learning? What can I learn from that? And I think that there's so much value when we take down the filter of age or even experience sometimes.
Yeah.
But looking at what can I learn from this person?
Yeah, I think the one caveat, though, that I would put that kind of into mentorship is mentorship. There is a difference between a book smart and living it and dwelling with it in the real world. And so I think, like, learning from students as they come home with their knowledge from class is great,
right.
But I think mentorship is very much as someone who has been there and done that,
okay.
Versus someone who, you know, because I can go on ChatGPT and learn a whole lot of things about a lot of things pretty quickly and have a lot of knowledge. But I think mentorship is a
experiential piece.
Yeah, it's they can speak to it not just because they understand it, but because they've lived it. Like the back to the technology, the high school student can fix your technology because they live there.
Right.
The person who lives in Europe can tell you about Europe because they live there, not because they've read about it. So I think I think mentorship is an experiential element, not just a textbook.
So I want to step back for a second. What is the hard part of leading without a mentor?
I think the loneliness of it, like, just, I guess, so, you know, that example I'll give, so leadership is hard. It just is. And there's no way to understand, like, the heart of leadership unless you're there. Like, when you're in leadership, there's just a heaviness of the responsibility that comes with it. And I think every different place you lead is a little different. But so I remember, like, walking into leading here at Peace with Christ. And one of the first things I did when I knew I was coming, I asked my father-in-law, like, will you, you know, mentor me? And he's like, okay, we're going to set up a call. And so we have a call every Wednesday at 1 o'clock. You know, unless I'm on vacation or he's on vacation, I'm calling him. Now, there's some weeks where I'm like, sorry, I don't have any questions. He'll maybe ask me a few questions and it's, you know, 5 minutes. And there'll be other times where it's close to an hour. But the reality of it, when he talked to me about leadership, and I don't think I understood it till I was in it, but he's like, it's just heavy. It's just heavy. And
it's like a backpack that you're carrying, right?
Yeah.
On this journey.
Yeah. And I don't know that I even have words to describe it even. I don't know that I could tell somebody what it was, but just that him, this fact saying it's heavy, and us having discussions around him saying, yep, when I'm talking about something, he's like, yep, that's just the heaviness of leadership. Like, it's not that he understands what it is to lead here, but he understands what it's like in a different context to do a similar thing. And I think just that, more so than anything he tells me, and he tells me so much and I've learned so much from him, it's just that understanding that he kind of knows what it's like and he can help me make good decisions. Not make them for me, but help me, give me things to think about that help me make the right decisions. It's just such a, I don't know, the first of it is just having, not being alone in it is just so valuable. And having somebody who's, you know, for him, he's retired now, quite a few steps ahead, but somebody who's done it for 30 years.
Yeah, and you've touched on that loneliness a couple of times. We're going to talk about that in our next podcast, some of the challenges of loneliness. So I won't go into that too much here, but I love how you said that, the heaviness of leadership, the weight of leadership. And I do. I think about, I've been backpacking with our students a few times, and that pack day one is not as heavy as it is day four.
Yeah.
And it does. It gets hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of challenge to it.
Yeah. And I think that's not just church leadership. That's leadership anywhere. And that's,
yeah,
that's leadership as a volunteer. That's leadership in your business. That's leadership in your family. And I think just having someone who can relate with what it's like in your context, and help you think critically about what's going on, as an outside person is so helpful.
I was going to touch on that. We're talking about leadership in general, not just leadership in the church, but also leadership where you are, where you work.
Yeah.
Finding that mentor may look a little different, mm-hmm, in how you do it. You may even be assigned a mentor,
yeah,
in the workplace.
Yeah, yeah.
But having one in different sections of your life,
yeah,
is really important.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's where we might have multiple different mentors, And they might not all be an expert in everything, but when they're an expert in one thing, like who are we intentionally hanging around to be better at a certain skill? Like you're a great parent, so how can I be around you and ask you questions in my parenting? Like I think that's so valuable. But we need them in different areas of our life. And sometimes the same person can be helpful in multiple areas of our life, but that's not always the case.
It's almost somebody who loves you enough to be a cheerleader and loves you enough to also speak truth to you when you need it.
Yeah, no, I think that's so true. And I think there's also value, like, I guess I would say this from my leadership. There's also value in having someone that doesn't have a vested stake in what happens, right? Like,
speak about that.
Yeah, so like at some level, like, my father-in-law is a mentor, like cares about me and my family and what's happening, but like he in a way doesn't have a vested stake in what happens at Peace with Christ. Now he does because he wants the kingdom to thrive and he wants that to happen here as well. He wants more people to know Jesus, but like he doesn't live and die by what happens here at Peace with Christ. And so he's able to be a little more objective than say, well, let's just take then I can learn a lot from Pastor Hiller. But Pastor Hiller, you know, this was his church. It still is his church. He has a little different stake in what happens here than my father-in-law who lives 12 hours away does. And so I think in mentorship, there is value in that. Like I think in the corporate environment, it's great to have a mentor in your company. You can probably learn a lot from them, but there might be value in having someone outside of that. I think there's value in having your parents and your in-laws speak into your parenting, but there's also value in having someone outside that, because they're at some level, those are your grandkids that they're raising,
right?
And they have a vested interest in them as their grandkids. And so there's value in having other parents speak into you that don't have, that love your kids, yes, but don't have quite so much vested interest in them. And I think that's important in mentorship as well, that we have some mentors that are kind of removed a step, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So what's the difference between a great mentor and just a life coach? I've had a life coach, and I do see a little bit of a difference here.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? Like,
I think a life coach has an agenda, and I think they're definitely trying to get you from point A to point B. I think sometimes they're paid. You pay to have one, and they definitely, there's a difference between a coach who's speaking at you, right, and a mentor to me who's speaking into me.
Yeah.
And doing life with me. I like how you said that with a vested interest. Life coaches sometimes don't have that.
Yeah. They have a vested interest in you, but not always, I think, not always the whole vested interest in your success. They want to walk with you and help you be the best you could be. And they're not, I think a mentor can't draw too much value from exactly where you go. Right. Whereas I think a coach has to, like a life coach has to. Their value is, and I got my clients to lose 1,000 pounds cumulatively over the last year. Right. Like I think a mentor wants to, you know, walk with you and help you be better because they ultimately care about you, and not so much what you're doing. They're not mentoring you so that. My father-in-law is not mentoring me at some level so that Peace with Christ might excel. He wants to help me and me excel. And I think that gives him a different vantage point than a coach that wants to see the success of Peace with Christ, right? Like my father-in-law wants to see, I think, me be successful. And I think that's where mentors should be. They have to be about the person first. About their success first, which is always the hard part about like having a mentor that's a part of your company, right? Like they want to see you excel so the company does, right? Like, whereas I think a true mentor wants to see you excel as a person first and foremost.
Yeah, maybe like a personal mentor versus a professional mentor.
Yeah, well, and I would say with my father, like, and even that line is funny, like, and we're getting into crazy semantics of this, but I think my father-in-law like is mentoring me professionally, but right. it's about me and not about the success of peace with Christ.
Right.
Right. Which leads to me being more, I think, successful and a better pastor for peace with Christ, but it's about seeing me grow personally.
So as you seek out a mentor, how do you go about doing the ask? I know for mentors in my life, I'm going to go back to a friend of mine who, through a really challenging time, became a mentor for me. It was early on when I came to peace. We had a ministry called Stephen's Ministry, and she became my Stephen's minister, which she took the role more as a mentor. And so it was kind of given to me. It was kind of placed on me.
Okay.
I didn't have to do the ask.
Okay.
How do you go about doing an ask?
I told this story a recent Sunday, but do you remember when you were a kid and you were 7 years old and you just asked somebody to be your friend?
Right.
Like, there's not really a cool way to do it. It's like, how do you ask a girl out on a date? You just do. Like, it's kind of awkward and weird and strange. And so I think, like, I don't know, don't make it too weird. Just find somebody you value this, you want them to speak into your life. I think we got to be better about asking people to speak into our lives. Like, we want, and we've told this to Sarah's parents too, we want you to speak into our parenting. Like, we value you for, and we need people to speak into us in this. And so I think, like, you can ask it that way. You can ask, hey, you know, I want to learn from you. Can we talk regularly? Can I ask you questions? So I think just ask, like, you're then probably it'd be as weird for somebody to walk up to you and say, hey, I think you need a mentor. Like, I'm not sure we want that. So if we don't want that, well, we would want that from the right person, but not from the wrong person.
Right.
So if like, if we
can
don't,
can I be your mentor?
Yeah. Can I be your mentor? Let's go. Like, so I don't know, if you want to be mentored by somebody, just ask them.
And there's a lot of value in that. You're honoring that person when you ask them.
Yeah.
If there's a person that you've seen who you admire, they're parenting or respected, you admire how their marriage is.
Mm-hmm.
If you look up to how they are leading in the church or leading in the workforce, ask them.
Yeah.
That could be one of the greatest things that you could do for somebody.
Yeah, and I think with that, you know, if it's not clear why, make sure you say why. So I don't know if I ever asked Sarah's dad, hey, you know,
would you be my mentor?
When I think I did, you know, can you help me? I don't know if I said mentor, but, you know, can you help me learn to be a senior pastor? I think is probably what I said. And I think in that context, I didn't need to tell them why. But I think sometimes maybe if you're asking somebody, you know, we really see your marriage going really well, can you help us? You may want to say a little why, like why you see that. Now, it's obvious in some cases why, but I think some cases we may want to say why too, that I think you could teach me something about prayer because I see you praying like this and that seems valuable to me. Can you teach me how to pray? Right? Like, Yeah.
I was just sharing with Sarah, I've had the privilege of watching your father-in-law and mother-in-law as they've been grandparents.
Mm.
And there's parts of that I've really gleaned from. And I've never formally said, would you be my mentor? But there's a mentoring that's going on because I'm watching and I'm taking that all in. And I love especially spiritually how they guide and how they speak into, but they don't take over.
Yeah.
And so that's been a really cool thing for me to watch.
Yeah.
And they've mentored me as a grandparent because I don't have a lot of grandparents that I'm watching necessarily.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think probably it'd be good if we pointed out there's a difference from, I think we can learn from a lot of people.
Yes.
And a lot of people can mentor us. But mentor is a relationship where we invite somebody to encourage us and challenge us. And so I think when we talk about having like a mentor, everybody, when if you're around people, you'll learn things from people. And I think that's good. But having a mentor, if there's a place you really want to grow in, it's letting people know you a little more and know what you're doing so that they can encourage you and challenge you. My father-in-law knows by now that I overthink things. And so he'll challenge me in that. because he knows that about me. He'll say, Josh, do you think you're overthinking it here? I'm like, yeah, probably. And sometimes now I'll finish the statement. Like, I'll tell him something like, yeah, I'm overthinking this, aren't I? And he's like, yeah, you are. And so I think there's a difference from a mentor, like just watching somebody and observing you learn. But the mentorship we need sometimes is that challenge. And we don't always get that if we don't invite somebody into that. Because people aren't naturally going to challenge us unless we invite them to be a mentor, to challenge me and how could I do this better.
Or give them permission to do that.
Yeah.
Do men need male mentors and do females need female mentors? Or do you believe there's a space for opposite sex mentors?
I mean, there's always a caution, like the level of relationship you have with somebody that's the opposite sex, that's not your spouse. Like, there's always the caution there. There's always the caution in what are the optics of that, right? As a Christian, like beyond doubt. Not necessarily, not in everything. Like, I think when it comes to being a dad and a mom, yeah, like, I don't think that works very well. Right. Like, there's definitely times, but I think it's probably helpful that a man's mentoring a man, but not a cut and dry. It always has to be this way. I think you can learn from people that are the opposite sex, but with caveats and with cautions.
Yeah, I think in the workplace, I think there's space for it. I think I would caution spiritually.
Okay.
Because there's a level of intimacy in spiritual conversation.
Yeah.
And praying together, things like that.
Yeah.
I think there's maybe room to be mentored if there's a third person there.
Okay.
And I think I like what you said of in issues around being a man, being a woman.
Mm-hmm.
That's when somebody of the same sex needs to speak into that.
No, I think that's well said.
Yeah. So how does mentorship impact a leader's faith and personal discipleship path?
Well, I think it's... And we talk about this a lot, follow me as I follow Christ. Like, if we want to know Jesus better, what better way than to follow people who are following Jesus, right? Like, I think there's an advantage to that. Is there somebody that's a little farther along in one area of their faith? Like, then, you know, they can speak into us and challenge us. And, you know, Harold, how did you learn to love the Bible so much? Like speak into me. If you want to know, love the Bible more, talk to Harold. Like, he's just got this fascinating love for it. But like, look for that. If there's places where, you know, I see this person having peace, well, by golly, I want to learn, where is that peace coming from? Like, how do I get a part of that? Like, and so I think that's, when somebody has a spiritual gift or has something in their life that, this seems weird, but just seems desirable. Like, if there's something good, pleasing, and wonderful in it, like the Bible tells us, St. Paul tells us, dwell on those things. Well, I think sometimes we see that in other people. And so if we see that in other people, let's ask them questions. Let's have a conversation with them. Let's ask, you know, them to what it looked like for you to mentor me in that, right? Like, I think those are valuable things.
Yeah. As we kind of come to an end, what are some practical steps in finding the right mentor? I could be all on board with this. I could look at my circle of influence, my circle of friends. What am I looking for? And then how do I go about it?
Yeah, I mean, this is going to sound super spiritual, but just look for something you want. I want to be a grandparent like them. So what do? You watch them and ask them. I want to be a friend like that. I want to be somebody who values the scripture like that. I want to pray like that. Whatever that is. And that's not, I know that sounds totally unspiritual, but just like, I don't know that it's any more complicated than that. Like, I saw my father-in-law being a great leader, and it's like, I need more of that. So who am I going to ask? I'm going to ask him to mentor me. In being a pastor. And so,
I want to jump in real quick. I've been meaning to ask this question. Do you always take all the advice that he gives you?
No.
Okay.
No, and I think he'd be mad at me if I did. Yeah.
It doesn't mean you have to do everything that your mentor lays out before
you. No. And I've tailored it to me. But I think that'd be my point. Again, the Bible says, I think Paul wrote it, whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever's commendable, dwell on these things, right? Like, God has wired something into you. The Holy Spirit's given you a gift, a desire, a longing for good things. And obviously we have to test and approve, right? We can want something that's bad, so we test and approve with the Bible and see if this is, but like, what God has given you a desire for, some of that is good. And so if you want something, check your motives. Do I want to be a good friend because I just want to appear to be a good person? Or is there something wholesome about being a good friend? Well, learn from this person who you see being a good friend, like how to be a good friend. Would you mentor me in how you have friendship, because you sure seem to excel at it?
Yeah.
Like, just ask that question. Yeah. And then see where God takes it.
I like how you said that. God has given us a longing for good things. That's solid.
Yeah.
That's
and a longing really for bad things too. So so test and approve. Like the Bible says that, all test and approve.
As I'm on my fifth cup of coffee,
yeah,
right? Okay.
But like, yeah, let's go.
All right. So our goal ultimately is to, who are you following? We've talked about this repeatedly over the year. Who are you following? Who are you leading? How do I transition from having a mentor to being a mentor? So we've talked a lot about finding that person who's pouring into me. Mm-hmm. How do I find that person that I'm now going to pour into?
Lead how you want to be led. I think a lot of times we make leadership like about how do I lead that other person? And I think that's important. So I think contextualizing your leadership to them, but also like the people that want to be led by somebody like you are going to gravitate toward you. And so I think if you remember sometimes that you lead how you want to be led, then I think you're going to be a good leader for a certain type of people. Maybe not a leader for everybody, but a leader for a certain type of people. And that's a move forward and for the kingdom of God. And that's another reason why mentorship is so important. You learn kind of how you want to be mentored. You learn where maybe your mentor has some things that you would love that he did a little differently. Well, great. Well, you could be that a little different for the person you're mentoring. And so I think we just let it kind of flow out. Again, I don't think it's rocket science. I don't think it's that you have to do it exactly right. No, just lead how you want to be led. Love the people around you and seek how you can build them up and let Jesus take care of the rest.
Yeah, what a great way to end. Let Jesus take care of the rest. We really appreciate you joining us today for Jesus-Centric Leadership.